Glory to God in the highest, who has given us life and light and salvation in his grace and goodness. Praise be to him for now and for all eternity. Amen. We turn our attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, where Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. At first, this encounter might seem as though it's just kind of accidental. And yet it wasn't. Jesus knew the exact moment that Samaritan woman would show up at that well. And he was waiting for her. Now, any respectable Jew would not even travel through Samaria. And yet here is Jesus waiting for her. She had to be surprised just to even see him sitting there. And then he says, "Will you give me a drink?" And with that, he begins a conversation with her. She's shocked. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. They're not on good terms. She was expecting him to at least ignore him, if nothing else. But no, here he actually strikes up a conversation. And in doing that, Jesus was destroying all the social norms of the day. He wasn't following those customs. He was breaking all those social norms down in order to reach out to her, to draw her into a conversation, because he had gifts for her. And in him reaching out and taking down these barriers, he was inviting her to be real, to take down the barriers that would wall him off from her, to open up her heart and listen to what he had to say. And in the same way, today, Jesus reaches out for you and me. He breaks through all the social barriers that says, who cares if this isn't so cool? He reaches out and invites us to break down the social barriers and open our hearts in order to be real with a real Messiah. He has blessings for us. The woman was surprised, literally shocked, because Jews don't talk to Samaritans. And yet, that would just be the beginning of the surprise Jesus had in store for her. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. At this very moment, the Samaritan woman doesn't get it, that she is actually talking face to face with the Lord God Almighty. She sees his human face, but she doesn't recognize that under the surface is God, the Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, sitting there across the well from her, nose to nose. God, covered over with flesh and blood, and she's unaware of who it is she's really talking to. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is speaking with you, would we recognize Jesus if he came and sat down and talked with us? Well, he does. This Lenten season, he pulls up a chair right next to us and sits down and wants to engage us in a conversation. He wants to talk to us that he might impart gifts and blessings to us. How does he do that? Through his holy word, in each page, he's on the other side of that page speaking those truths that are printed there into the very fabric of our being. We're talking to none other than the Lord Jesus as we're reading his word and holding it in our hearts. Behind earthly bread and wine, Jesus promises to be there with his body and blood, that which was sacrificed on the cross, now here for us. Why, through word and sacrament, he's closer to us than he was to this Samaritan woman to actually come into us? Or are we too confused and muddled by earthly things and cannot see the presence of God when he's nose to nose with us? Does paper get in the way of seeing God speaking to us? Do the human three-dimensional things of bread and wine obscure our vision from that which is spiritual and Jesus' true present in, with, and under the bread and the wine? He comes to us with a blessing this Lenten season to draw us ever closer into his truth. The Samaritan woman didn't get it. Jesus was talking about living water, and she thought he meant the water at the bottom of Jacob's well. She wasn't quite getting it. But with patience and persistence, Jesus was going to continue that conversation. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Wow. Right there at that moment, Jesus was offering her a cup of God's grace. A Samaritan woman, a life riddled with sin and confusion and false teachings about God, and yet Jesus is there reaching out to all nations with that gift that he had given to Abraham, fulfilling the words that Abraham, you'll be the father of many nations. This grace that's coming through you will spread out to the four corners of the world, and how blessed we are. He's giving her a cup of God's grace, this living water, to parch the wilderness, the dry heart within her that yearns for the presence of God, but has no idea as to where to find it. Everyone is parched and a wilderness inside until they are soothed and comforted by Jesus himself. That is the only thing that quiets that longing and relieves that pain. This very day, the Lord is offering a cup of grace to each and every one of us, that living water that wells up into a river of living water to eternal life. Will we drink deeply of his living water, taking it to heart? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Probably we could say that there will be some Lutherans in hell, sadly to say. We pray none of us. But there's always the danger that people think they're saved because of the organization they have joined. We join this church so that weekly we may come and drink deeply of the waters of life. But those waters of life are Jesus and only Jesus. How tragic it is when someone dies of thirst as they're sitting next to the well of salvation. Jesus comes with his life-giving water that we might be with him and be satiated with him for all eternity, and in him find everlasting life. It seems like Jesus abruptly changed the conversation. Here he's telling her about eternal life and the water of salvation, and all of a sudden he says, go, call your husband, come back. That seems strange. Is he just kind of showing her a little bit about salvation and then all of a sudden cutting her short and sending her off to get her husband because he'd rather talk with him? No. Jesus is very much continuing the conversation. First, he shows her how he has come to her. He's sitting with her on this well, that he might impart the blessing of eternal life, but then he shows her that very thing that might block her from eternal life. Her sins. Reality. The fact, the reality is she's had five husbands, and the one she has now isn't her husband, but a live-in boyfriend. Ooh. What a train wreck of a life. And yet Jesus is reaching out to her. To her to see her sins. And that's exactly what Jesus does this Lenten season too. That's why this is a season of repentance. He does show us our sins that we might take note of what he saved us from. And Jesus will ask us probing questions too that may sting when we first have to ponder the answer to those. We like to masquerade as though we are the innocent ones, good-hearted, natured people who wouldn't harm a fly. But you peel back that mask, and it's amazing how there can be a monster inside who's capable of doing all kinds of evil. Jesus comes and probes at that a little bit when he asks, "Hey, what was that you were doing last Friday? Or who is that you took out to lunch? Was that all innocent? How did you make your fortune?" he asked some people. "What are you looking at on the internet these days?" Or he might ask some of us, "How did you get those answers to your homework assignment or that test?" And poke and probe at those things. Or, "What did you just say to that person? How was that you used my name? What is it you're dreaming about these days? What is it you're planning and plotting these days? Who is it you're fuming against? How's that giving gifts to God working for you? Is that still cheerful and generous? How are things going, really?" Well, the reality of it is that Jesus sees our sins that lurk in our head and heart and come out in our life. He sees each and every one of them, and he condemns them. He doesn't excuse them. And if we're going to journey with Jesus, we need to see them for what they truly are in reality. Otherwise, we have no use for a Savior. Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman was getting rather deep and personal and uncomfortable, perhaps with us too. She quickly tries to divert the conversation. "Lighten up. Let's take the attention off of my sinning and let's turn to you." She says, "I can see you are a prophet." Ooh, and more than a prophet. She poses questions. The Samaritans say, "We're supposed to worship here. You Jews say in Jerusalem. Prophet, tell us what is right." And Jesus being Jesus, he brings the conversation right back to her, her heart, her life, her walk with the Lord. He says, "Salvation is from the Jews, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Salvation. Salvation is not from ourselves. We do not create our own salvation. Salvation is not from America, as great and glorious as America is. No, salvation is from the Jews, from a specific Jew, from Jesus Christ. That is Abraham's descendants. They are the ones he has chosen to be his holy people, to work his plan of salvation. And he promised Abraham that seed that would bring salvation to all mankind. Salvation is from Jesus and Jesus alone. There is only one Savior. He is the only one we can trust in to take us home to heaven. And God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. The truth is that Jesus is true God. He's the one who's come down and taken on our flesh and blood along with our sins and sacrificed his life. That it's only through his holy blood that we have peace with God. He has suffered the blows that should have been ours. We deserve the dungeons of hell, but he's given us the mansions of heaven, and he has sent out his Holy Spirit to create us anew. It's not Jesus' work coupled with our good deeds that somehow ransom and rescue us. No, from beginning to end, it is him, his grace, and what he has done for us. And that's the kind of worship God wants. This Lenten season isn't just a matter of reading some Lenten liturgies and standing a little and sitting a little and bowing our heads for a moment and now we've done our Lenten thing. No, that's just so much show. Worship is inside. When God's word touches a believer's heart, and it produces faith, and it strengthens that faith, and that heart wants to sing out to hear its Savior's name. It wants to sing praise to him who has washed us clean and made us his own. That is truly worship from the depths of our being, and liturgies are just there to give voice to that, to have music to sing by the praise that already exists deep in our heart of hearts. To worship in spirit and in truth, not just on the surface and in lies. And so he calls for us this Lenten season to hold on to him and journey with him into that kind of worship. Wow, this is really getting deep for the Samaritan woman. She wanted to bail out as quickly as possible, so she throws out a general truism that she thinks is just going to bring the whole thing to a sudden end. I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. In other words, prophet, I don't need you explaining anything more. I'll wait for the real McCoy to show up. And without having a clue, she puts her finger on the very point Jesus is making. Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. He is the Messiah promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He is the promised Messiah of all time, and he's our promised Messiah. He has come down to sit on the well with us and share this good news, and to be the Savior of our souls, and how we need to recognize who Jesus truly is and take him by the hand and walk with his this Lenten season that we might truly see who is dying on that cross. The Messiah. And why he's dying on that cross. To pay for your sins and my sins. And who it was that walked out of that tomb on that Easter morning, the Messiah. God in human flesh come to ransom and rescue us. And that's why we can be certain that our Messiah will take us home to heaven. He has come to be with us and he's gone to prepare a place and he has promised with a solemn oath that he will come to take us to be with him forever. And that he will never leave us or forsake us. We have a Savior, a Jewish Savior, a Savior who is none other than God himself. And so we rejoice this Lenten season and how holy and sacred this time is that we can journey with Jesus and see him fulfill all of the promises made of old. And in him we have life and salvation, complete forgiveness, and a brand new person of faith inside. Oh, Lord, bless us this Lenten season that we might yearn all the more for your worship services, that we might yearn to hear your voice through Holy Scripture, and for the next time you banquet with us in the Lord's Supper. Give us a holy yearning, dear Lord, that we might travel and open our hearts to you, that you might fill us with living water. Amen. Please rise. We pray, Heavenly Father, merciful Lord, we thank you for your grace and goodness. Be with us, that we might cherish your word, that we might revive our souls in your life-giving word. Bless us and strengthen us in Jesus our Savior. Amen.